But I think the scariest part of it is when a person has gone so far that God gets involved in the deception. And of course, this is Ahab, so that's pretty bad character. So he's really going down. The person has to really be raunchy. But it's the behind the scenes, or in heavenly scenes, when God sends a lying spirit to complete the deception of people. So that's the storyline here. If you hold your finger here and go to Exodus 9, verse 20. And this is, I believe, should be our greatest fear, is the fear of deception. Now, the Bible has given us two lines of defense against deception. Like in baseball, you have infield, outfield. And so the one is Genesis 3, where we never add, subtract, or change a word or words of the book. And then in Luke 4 is when we learn to rightly divide Scripture. So those are the two lines of defense. If you get those two, then you have what you need to overcome any let's say religious deception. Okay, Exodus 9. And let's go and pray first. Lord, I do ask you to help us understand this and help us to be people who truly fear the possibility of deception. And sure, we're going to be deceived in some areas in life, but yet, Lord, I just pray you'd help us with the pressure that we're under, that the church is under and the young people are under with the deception of today is really powerful. And I pray you'd help us to help them and help us to overcome it by fearing your words. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, in Luke 9, two attitudes toward the Bible, Luke 9, 20, 21. These are the basic two attitudes. Okay, and this is when the hail came down, and then he said, you need to get your cows in the barns. If you don't get everybody inside a protection, a shelter, then the hail's going to kill them. And this is where we get the comment saying, until the cows come home. And so one group, it says, he that feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his cattle flee into the houses. So that's one group. And the other one, and he that regarded not the word of the Lord left his servants and his cattle in the field. So this is a disregard. The disregard has quite a variation. It goes from disregard to despise. Proverbs 13:13. Whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. So you have fear in both of them. And then according to Isaiah 66:2, to this man will I look, he that trembleth at the word. So that's fear. So we ought to fear adding, subtracting, or changing any word of this book. We ought to fear that and stay away from that. So this idea of deception in 1 Kings 22, this is when God is reinforcing the deception. Even though we know God cannot lie, but he will send a lying spirit to complete the task. And of course, this is Ahab, so this is a pretty bad dude. In this storyline, at the beginning part, is Ahab's wanting to conquer some land, and he's trying to get Jehoshaphat to be a party to this coalition. And Jehoshaphat should not have done it, but he did. And so it's pretty easy. The narrative is pretty easy to read through, so we'll start reading through it. And they continued 3 years without war between Syria and Israel. So this is the same Syria of today. Maybe not the same exact landmass, but it's the same area. So this is north and east, the east part of Israel. When I went to Israel in 97, we went to right next to Syria to a kibbutz, and a kibbutz is a voluntary commune. And then We were on the east side of the Sea of Galilee, and we're on this mountain looking down at the Sea of Galilee, and then there's a road coming across here. And then they left a very large gun, I don't know what caliber, it had to be enough to shoot, you know, a mile down the hill. And they said, they left that, the Jewish people said, we left this here to tell, to remind us that who did the shooting here. It was Arabs shooting at school buses down in there. So they're real brave. So that's what they did. That was Syria. Syria was just a stone's throw where we were at. So this is the same group. So in verse 2, and it came to pass in the third year that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, so he's down south, and then came down to the king of Israel. It says come down even though he went north, but he's coming down in altitude. That's kind of how they do it. And so then the king of Israel said unto his servants, know ye that Ramoth in Gilead is ours, and we be still. And take it not out of the hand of the king of Syria. So they're fighting for the land even back then. And he said unto Jehoshaphat, wilt thou go with me to battle to Ramoth Gilead? The answer should have been no. I'm not going to send our men, our soldiers to fight your battles. That's what the answer should have been. But there are political entanglements, so he may have felt like he had to. And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, I am as thou art, my people as thy people, my horses as thy horses. So, bad move, but there it is. And Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. So Jehoshaphat had still some enough Judaism in him that if they're going to go to battle, they better at least ask God what to do. So he's the one that brought it up, not the king of Israel. So the king of Israel, in order to keep this guy on his side, okay, we'll do that. Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together. Now remember, they're already he already executed a bunch of those in chapter 18. So he's built them back up to 400. Amazing how they can do that. So he gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said unto them, shall I go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? Now these are yes men. And they said, go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. Now they did not say, thus saith the Lord, and Jehoshaphat was probably listening for that. So they just said, go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. And Jehoshaphat, he recognized the liar. Man, he said, you guys, that's ESV, that's for sure, I know that. And then Jehoshaphat said, is there here a prophet of the Lord besides that we may inquire of him? So he knew the fake, 400. Is there anybody that's going to tell you the truth? And the king of Israel said unto him, there is yet one man, Micaiah, son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him. I hate that guy, because he tells me the truth. He tells me what I don't want to hear. For he doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. And that's typical people where they'll accept heaven is real, hell is not. They want to accept the positive, throw out the negative. Anything that helps my ministry, my church, I want to do. If it hurts my ministry, then I don't want to talk about that. And so that's the standard operating procedure. Sadly, that's what's going on today, especially if a church is in debt, where they got to, you know, keep the money flowing to try to pay off this debt. So, and remember when the butler and the baker, there's no candlestick maker. So the butler and the baker, when they got the interpretation, the one saw that the interpretation was good. What if he would have reversed it? If he would have said, oh, you're going to hang in 3 days. The other one said, forget it. I don't even want to hear what you're going to say. And the only reason one guy wanted to hear it is because he saw it was a good interpretation. He thought he's going to get a good one. And then he got the stretchy the neck in 3 days. So then the king of Israel called an officer, said, "Hasten thither, Micaiah, the son of Imlah." So he's in jail. He imprisoned the guy. And the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, sat each on his throne, having put on their robes in a void place in the entrance of the gate of Samaria. So when you read something like that, you just kind of pick up on the idea of the gate, because that's where they would have business and political decisions or judicial decisions, in the gate. It's a common phrase, in the gate. And remember, Lot was sitting in the gate in Sodom, so that means he was some type of a judicial or political figurehead. So in our culture, in the gate or in a political arena would be our local courthouse, where you go to the local courthouse, and then the ladies in there usually are very helpful if you want to find like your deed or your abstract. An abstract is a history of the property that you have. So like it goes back history of who bought it when, what, and some rules and regulations that certain owners had on it. And down in Rensselaer, I don't know if it was the one, I don't know if it was our house on Buncombe Road where I went back through the abstract and it said only could be sold to free white people. And people don't know that in American culture, but that's how it was. And it's not racist, it's just you're trying to protect your heritage, your family. There's nothing wrong with that. But, you know, that's what I read in there. Obviously, nobody's going to read those nowadays. So in the gate, when we read that in there, that kind of gets us to the idea where Lot was at. And then all the prophets prophesied before them. And Zedekiah, so he's kind of like the ringleader of the 400. The son of Shinaiah made him horns of iron. So he's trying to be real dramatic. And he said, "Thus saith the Lord." So he says the formula. So he's probably thinking, well, this is going to convince Jehoshaphat. "With these shalt thou push the Syrians until thou have consumed them." And then all the prophets prophesied so. So you got 400 saying, "Go up to Ramoth Gilead and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver into the king's hand." But it just didn't sound true for Jehoshaphat. It didn't have the ring of truth. And so then it says, "And the messenger that was gone to call Micaiah," because he was in prison, "spake unto him, saying," so he's as they're walking to where the kings are at, he's kind of telling them what's going on and what the 400 said. "You think you're right about everything." And so what the 400 said, and he's implying, "Why don't you just go along to get along? And then you can get out of jail." "So the messenger that was gone to Micaiah spake unto him, saying, Behold now, the words of the prophets declare good unto the king with one mouth. Let thy word, I pray thee, be like the word of one of them, and speak that which is good." And then Micaiah, he's just, "As the Lord liveth, what the Lord saith unto me, that will I speak." And so he's going to stand true. But then when he walks in and he kind of sees everything going, I can almost see an ornery look on his face. So let's play around with these people's brains for a while. So in 15, "So he came to the king. King said unto him, Micaiah, shall we go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall we forbear? And he answered him, Go and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king." So it's like, you want to hear this? Okay, go ahead and prosper. He didn't say, "Thus saith the Lord." And I'm sure Jehoshaphat picked up on that. And I'm sure Ahab also knows that he's not telling what the Lord really wants him to say. even though Ahab doesn't want to hear. You ever be like that with somebody where they said, do you want to know, ask you a question? Can I ask you a question? Well, do you want to know the answer? Yeah, I want to know the truth. Are you sure you want to know the truth? Yeah, I want to know the truth. Then you tell them, and then they get mad at you. Why did you ask if you just got mad at me? I had a guy in the Jasper County prison. He went jail, not a prison, it's a jail. And he was telling me about how he admired his grandmother so much. And the Pentecostals have so many kids in prison, in the jails. It's ridiculous. And so he was just bragging up his grandmother, Pentecostal, blah, 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 blah. And I'm just listening to him. And then he said, what do you think about tongues? I'm like, oh, you just told me for about 10 minutes how wonderful your grandmother was and spiritual. And I know she speaks. And you're asking me that question? I could see this wasn't going to fare well. So I just flipped to it in the Bible, and I turned the Bible around this way. I said, you read it. And then he read the portion I was pointing to, and then he's trying to reach through the bars to grab me. How dare you? I said, I didn't say anything. I just told you what it said. Fortunately, I could stand far enough away where he couldn't reach through. But why ask if you don't want to know? And so that's what Ahab's like. So Ahab said unto him, the king said unto him, how many times shall I adjure thee that thou tell me nothing but that which is true in the name of the Lord? That adjure thee is like an oath, like a jury. And so, okay, since you ask, I'm going to tell you. And he said, I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills as sheep that have no shepherd. And the Lord said... Now when Jehoshaphat, okay, now we see it. These have no master, let them return every man to his house in peace. Ahab, don't go. Well, the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, did I not tell thee that he would prophesy no good concerning me but evil? I told you. And then he said, here, and then... Mike, he's going to throw some salt in the wound. He'd already cut him open. Now he's going to pour some salt in there. Hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne and all the host of heaven standing by him on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth-Gilead? So the Lord has meetings in heaven. And in Job 1, the devil came to this meeting. So he's having this meeting with his angels and unclean spirits. And the devil may be there. And he continued. And one said on this manner and another said on that manner. So the Lord, this is how the Lord, hold your finger here and go to Ezekiel 14 if you would. Again, this is Ahab. So, the Lord, I don't believe the Lord is just going to pick the average common person who maybe rejected something that he's going to continue down a path and destroy him. A person has to reject quite a bit before the Lord to go down there. Now, this is a universal idea that runs throughout all history. So this is not limited to Old Testament. This is how the Lord will deceive people in the tribulation to accept the Antichrist because they have rejected the truth. And 2 Thessalonians. So in 2 Thessalonians will be in the New Testament. So you get that and you run back to 1 Kings and see the approach. In Ezekiel 14 is the approach during Ezekiel's day. And if we start with verse 9 and then we'll go back and kind of look at it. And in verse 9 it says, and if the prophet be deceived when he has spoken a thing, I, the Lord, have deceived that prophet. Does that mean what that says? I, the Lord, but yet the Lord cannot lie. So how does he do that? 1 Kings 22, he sends a lying spirit. So, and I will stretch out my hand upon him, and I will destroy him from the midst of my people Israel. And that's what he's doing, Ahab. So how did that person get to that point? If we go back to the start in chapter 14, then came certain of the elders of Israel unto me and sat before me. The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their heart and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Should I be inquired of at all by them? So they already have an opinion. That's their idol. And they want to see if God agrees with their opinion rather than them changing their opinion to agree with God. So then he says, therefore speak unto them and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, every man of the house of Israel that setteth up his idols in his heart and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face and cometh to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him that cometh according to the multitudes of his idols. So now, idols, of course, we can see that he's dealing about idols and images, but this can be an idea, it can be a person, it could be a ministry, where a lot of guys that maybe their church gets larger, that their ministry is more important to them than the truth. And so then it says that I will take the house of Israel in their own heart because they are all estranged from me through their idols. Therefore, say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord, repent, turn yourselves from your idols and turn away your faces from all your abominations. That's what they should do. For every one of the house of Israel, of the stranger that sojourneth in Israel, which separateth himself from me and setteth up his idols in his heart, and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face, and cometh to the prophet to inquire of him concerning me, I, the Lord, will answer him by myself. And I will set my face against that man, and will make him a sign and a proverb, and I will cut him off from the midst of my people, that ye shall know that I am the Lord. So that's why, you know, a Bible believer changes his beliefs to match the Bible. Okay, and you can just simply ask people, what's your final authority? What is your final authority? Well, it should be the Bible. But now people are starting to say, the Holy Spirit. Yeah, but that's subjective. That sounds spiritual. What's your final authority? The Holy Spirit. Yeah, but God gets credit for a lot of things that he doesn't do. The Holy Spirit works through the Word. And so the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost of God, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. So people are using that as an excuse to promote their own opinion, is what they're doing. Now back in 1 Kings 22, so up in heaven, in this meeting in heaven, you know, one time the Lord had this meeting in Job 1, and the devil shows up, and then the Lord picked a fight with the devils. Have you considered my servant Job? And then that's how that got going. So in this case, there's several spirits. So in verse 21, and there came forth a spirit and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. And the Lord said unto him, wherewith? And he said, I will go forth, and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. So that's 400. So this lying spirit can put the same thought in all 400. So this is the capability of unclean spirits. And then they will agree, and that will convince Ahab, and then Ahab will go to battle and get destroyed. And that was the intent. So he's telling this to Ahab. And he said, thou shalt persuade him. Okay, the Lord said, thou shalt persuade him, prevail, go forth and do so. And that's what happened. And so I believe, you know, that we ought, that's why, you know, I'm going to maintain that I'm not going to add, subtract, or change a word of this book. Even if I don't understand it, I'm not going to add, subtract, change a word of this book. Because when are we going to start and stop on that? You know, I think it takes more honesty to say, I don't know, rather than to make up something. So in 23, now therefore, behold, the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets, and the Lord has spoken evil concerning thee. Have a good day, Ahab. Have fun going. Now, Ahab is going to try to outsmart this thing. What a funny thing. Man, God has a sense of humor. Okay, and so the ringleader of the 400, of course, he's now offended. And Zedekiah, the son of Chenina, went near and smote Micaiah on the cheek, punched him out, and said, which way went the Spirit of the Lord from me to speak unto thee? And Micaiah said, behold, thou shalt see in that day when thou shalt go into thy inner chamber to hide thyself. You'll figure it out when you're hiding in your bomb shelter. These prophets had a sense of humor. My favorite is still the one that, if you want to see it, Jeremiah 30. This is still my favorite. Jeremiah 36 is forbidden a chapter in seminaries because it's about the preservation of the words. And it's when this smart aleck Jehudi asked Baruch. Baruch was the Tonto of Lone Ranger Jeremiah. And Baruch would be like his secretary, I guess you could say, and then he'd go out and utter the words. And this guy asked Baruch, saying in Jeremiah 36:17, tell us now, how didst thou write all these words at his mouth? And he answered, he pronounced all these words unto me with his mouth, and I wrote them with ink in a book. I just love that answer. How did you dare say something like that? Well, a thought came in my brain, and my brain said it to my mouth, and my mouth spoke it. I mean, you get a dumb question, you get a dumb answer. I can almost imagine the look on his face, you know, saying that to these guys. But yeah, that's my favorite one. But Micaiah, he's right there. And so verse 26, and the king of Israel said, take Micaiah and carry him back unto Amnon, the governor of the city, and to Joash, the king's son, and say, thus saith the king, put this fellow in prison, feed him with bread of affliction, with water of affliction, until I come in peace. Man, you talk about a hypersensitive person. Just for uttering words. Whether the words come true or not, just because somebody utters words don't mean anything. You know, of course, I know it's thus saith the Lord, it does mean something, but why do people get all bent out of shape? It tells us, you know, a lot of times when people get angry about these things, it's because they're wrong and they're emotionally tied to it. And then Mike, he's a funny guy. If thou return it all in peace, it's like, okay, I'm heading right, and he's, you can almost see him getting him shackled up, getting ready to go. And he said, oh, by the way, if thou return it all in peace, if you, I think you're going to come back in pieces, Ahab, maybe a different form of peace. If thou return it all in peace, the Lord hath not spoken by me. And he said, hearken, O people, every one of you. And so there's obviously people listening. He's trying to get somebody's attention. And when Ahab was killed in battle, anybody that heard that, that should be enough to convince them that Micaiah was right. We don't know. I wonder if he ever got out of prison. Yeah, it's funny how, you know, politicians treat people. If they treat their animals the way they treat people, the anti-cruelty society would show up. You know, we give titles to word, you know, ideas to kind of lose, like a jail. What do you mean, a cage? You put somebody in a cage for what? He didn't have a piece of card, and he didn't have a little plastic card in his hand. You put him in a cage because he didn't have a little plastic card that he thought he should have in his hand. In the Bible, prisons are short-term things, very short-term. It's a prison in the Bible was until they went to trial, they were convicted. If it was murder, rape, kidnapping, trafficking, then you just, it was a death sentence. If it was horse thieving or theft, then he would become a servant to the person he stole from until he paid it off. But, of course, now, the reason why people are so bold in committing these crazy acts, like to the ICE, I can't imagine these ICE agents having to put up with these people. It's because they get arrested and then they're set free, and it emboldens them more. Okay, so he said, "Hearken, O people, every one of you." So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, went up to Ramoth-Gilead. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, now here's, he's trying to connive. He's got a sneaky suspicion that this guy told the truth, but he thinks he's going to outsmart God. He said, "I would disguise myself and enter into the battle, but put thou on thy robes." And you're thinking, Jehoshaphat, don't you have a brain? They're going to be shooting at the royal robes, and you got yours on, and he's not putting his on. It's just insane. And the king of Israel disguised himself, went into battle. So he's like a regular soldier. And the king of Syria commanded his 32 captains that had rule over his chariot, saying, "Fight neither with small nor great, save only the king of Israel." Now that's a good order. Shoot the top dog. You get the top one, then everything else is taken care of. You know, but in the British fighting, when they stand in a straight line with red coats on, you can't shoot the officers. Shoot them first. You know, but that's a good order. The king of Syria, and the heathen got more brains than, you know, the righteous do. And it came to pass when the captains of the chariots saw Jehoshaphat that they said, "Surely it is the king of Israel." And they turned aside to fight against him, and Jehoshaphat cried out. And it came to pass when the captains of the chariots perceived that it was not the king of Israel, that he turned back from pursuing him. And this is where we get the common saying, "Jump in Jehoshaphat." Because if you read the cross reference, he hightails it out of there, scared to death. And so they realized, well, that's not the king of Israel. And then notice coincidence. Coincidence is when God chooses to remain anonymous. By sheer coincidence, a certain man drew a bow at a venture and smote the king of Israel between the joints of the harness. Wherefore he said unto the driver of his chariot, "Turn thine hand and carry me out of the host, for I am wounded." So one of the Syrians just took his bow and just drew it back, and by chance nailed Ahab. And I wonder what came to his head at that time. Did he think of Micaiah? And the battle increased that day, and the king was stayed upon his chariot against the Syrians and died at even, and the blood ran out of the wound into the midst of the chariot. And there went a proclamation throughout the host about the going down of the sun, saying, "Every man in his city and every man in his own country." So the king died and was brought to Samaria, and they buried him, the king of Samaria, or buried him, Pennsylvania saying that. And one washed the chariot in the pool of Samaria, and the dogs licked up his blood, just like Ahab said. And he washed his armor according to the word of the Lord which he spake. And this is where we have a custom where a person dies in an accident, and they take him to the hospital, and they say, dead on arrival. And that's where that came from. It came from Ahab. When he brought him back, he was dead on arrival. Now, the rest of the acts of Ahab and all that he did, and the ivory house which he made, ivory. Wow. That's pretty amazing. And all the cities that he built, are they not written in a book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel? Now, those chronicles are not in the Bible. So you have 1st and 2nd Chronicles. Those are the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah. So the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel were not, God chose not to put those in the Bible. Because the ones of Judah, that would be the lineage of Jesus. So that was important, obviously important to the Lord. And so then, so Ahab slept with his fathers, and Ahaziah his son reigned in his stead. Okay, now the idea of sleeping is their body slept. Okay, this is where we often when people put on tomb, rest in peace, R.I.P. And that's an Old Testament idea where Matthew 27 says the bodies of the saints slept. Where some of the cults, like Jehovah's Witnesses, they talk about soul sleeping. So they think that when you die, your soul sleeps until the last judgment. And to me, okay, if you want to sleep, I don't care. But for the believer, when we're absent from the body, we're present with the Lord. We're more aware after death than we are when we're alive because we see both worlds. So rest in peace, all that stuff, you know, that's, you know, fine, Old Testament. For the believer, man, we got a better hope. Much better hope. Okay, we'll stop there at the paragraph mark. And let's go and pray. Lord, I do thank you for your words. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to have a healthy fear of your word. Never add, subtract, change it. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.